perceive that you're really talking to me. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to kind of give you a backdrop of a book that I've had for a number of years. And it's written by Kelly Varner. And it's titled, Whose Right It Is. It's a handbook on covenantal theology. So I don't want to go into a lot of the details. But this morning I heard, go to page 42, so that's where we're going. Jesus killed the giant. Jesus, once and for all, blood sacrifice triumphed over Satan, bound the strong man and slew the dragon, the greatest son of David also killed the giant. Throughout the Old Testament, the Philistines were perpetually enemies of Israel, thus typifying demon forces, Goliath, their mouthy champion, is a type of Satan like the giants or Nephilims in Noah's day, Genesis 6:4, who were bullies or tyrants. Goliath was an intimidator, a spiritual terrorist. 1 Samuel 17, verse 51, King James Version says, therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistines and took his sword, drew it out of the sheath, therefore, and slew him and cut off his head. Psalm 24:8 says, who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 24 says, was King Jesus' coronation song as he passed through the heavens and ascended the throne of David, Hebrews 4:14. Christ has just come from the bloody battlefield of Gethsemane, or Calvary, and the empty tomb. The giant lay slain, his head removed, his army scattered and beaten. To fully appreciate the story of David and Goliath, one must know the events of 1 Samuel 1, verse 16, that led up to this momentous confrontation. The book of 1 Samuel opens with an existing Eli and a growing Samuel, a corrupt priesthood, heavy of flesh, without restraint and going blind, had become Ichabod. The glory had departed. Then, to be like the heathen nations, Israel clamored for a king, chosen by the people. Saul was a head and shoulders of a man who emphasized human wisdom and strength. He was anointed, but when it came to dealing with the Amalekites, the flesh, Saul held back part that he liked. So it is with those who stop at the Feast of Pentecost and go no further. David was anointed by the prophet Samuel with a ram's horn full of oil, preparing him for the day of battle. 1 Samuel 17, verse 1 and 4, through 4, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Succoth, which belonged to Judah, and pitched between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side. And there was a valley between. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath, of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. Sukkot means hedge, and Ephes Damin means boundary of blood, which I did not know. Satan can go no further, so far and no further. The armies were camped on two separate mountains, representing two opposing kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. Goliath drew near the taunted and taunted the people of God for 40 days, and the Bible number denoting trial and testing. 1 Samuel 17, verses 8 and 9, and he stood and cried out, the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, the seed of David, was chosen for the contest of the ages. Keep that in mind. Jesus Christ, the servant of Jehovah, the seed of David, was chosen for the contest of the ages. Isaiah 42:1, Matthew 1:1. The terms were clearly set. Whichever champion prevails would win the day. 1 Samuel 17, 38 through 40, NIV. Then Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around, because he was not used to them. I cannot go in these, he said to Saul, because I am not used to them. So he took them all off. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Saul's armor, the strength of the flesh, could not prevail in this battle. Likewise, Jesus overcame the evil one by the word of God and the power of the Spirit, Luke 4:4 and Acts 10:38. The 5 smooth stones prefigure the 5-fold ascension gifts ministries of our Lord to his church, Ephesians 4:8 through 13. Jesus smote the enemy and then apportioned his governmental ministry among his apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Theocratic government and divine order will smite the thinking of the enemy in the forehead. 1 Samuel 17, 51, King James. And when the Philistines saw these champion was dead, they fled. David killed Goliath. Jesus overcame the wicked one. Let us arise in prophetic praise and prayer to declare unto principalities and powers that their champion is dead. Ephesians 3:10 and verse 11. His intent was that now through the church, close your eyes and say, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
your intent is clear.
Your intent is clear.
That now, through the church,
the manifold wisdom of God,
should be made known
to the rulers,
and authorities,
in the heavenly realms.
According to his eternal purpose, which he had accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus judged the prince. The warfare is accomplished. The giant has been slain. When Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures and rose again for our justification, he also judged the prince of this world. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 12:31. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. The Greek word for judgment is krisis. Strong's 29:20. It means a decision by extension, a tribunal by implication. Justice, especially divine law. Compare this with the English word crisis and criterion. The word for world is cosmos, English cosmetic, and means an orderly arrangement, decorating or decoration by implication, the world. There is a difference between the earth and the world. The earth is forever the Lord's, Psalms 24:1. The world is a temporary order. Did you hear that? The world is a temporary order, a system, an arrangement of things. Satan is the prince of this world, Ephesians 2:2. James 4:4. John 12:31. It says that when Jesus finished him at the cross, Satan was cast out. Also translated in the King James Version as cast out, drive out, expel, thrust out, put forth, send away. Jesus, knowing in John 12 that his hour of being offered was near, declared the time of Satan's judgment to be now. That was 2,000 years ago. He then announced that the Holy Spirit would come to convince us of this truth. Hear me now. He then announced that the Holy Spirit would come to convince us of this truth. The Holy Spirit is on the job to convince us that there's more to this whole picture than we've ever known, and most of us have not paid too much attention because I think we're busy fighting the war. That's why he told us to enter his rest. John 16, verse 8 through 11. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt. You don't have to convict anybody. He will. The Holy Spirit will. In regards to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regards to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regards to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no more or no longer. In regards to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Most of the contemporary Christendom has only been acquainted with one-third of the Comforter's ministry. The Holy Ghost is the one who convinces men of sin and their need of a Savior. He is the one who reveals Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, but the same Spirit also desires to convince us that we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:21. We have begun to understand our identity in him, but few have considered that the Spirit will further assure our hearts concerning God's judgment, his criterion. Paul unfolds this mystery in the first chapter of Romans. In verse 1, he mentions the gospel of God. In verse 9, the gospel of his Son. In verse 16, the gospel of the Christ. The gospel of God is the judgment written. The scripture, the word of God. The Bible is God's criterion for righteousness, his standard of living for all men. The gospel of his Son is the judgment personified. The word for made flesh, John 1:14, the life of Jesus Christ is now the gauge, the crisis by which all men are judged. Just as Noah condemned his world by his righteous life, Hebrews 11:7, so Jesus condemned the devil and cast him out, The gospel of the Christ is execution of the judgment that he is, the body of Christ, arising to appropriate Jesus' victory over the devil, to enforce the law of Satan's defeat, and to become salt and light, a people of influence. Matthew 5, verse 13 through 16. And with the principle of resurrection, judgment is past, presently progressive and future. I repeat, as with the principle of resurrection, judgment is past, presently progressive and future. The devil has been judged and cast out of and our sins have been judged in Christ. As we learn the truth, grow in grace, and judge ourselves righteous in Christ, we will progressively cast Satan out of our thinking, our preaching, and our singing. Finally, the day will come when even the memory of the adversary shall perish. And that's verified in Nehemiah 2, verse 20. It's also confirmed in Isaiah 26, verse 13 and 14. In that day, the church will execute the judgment that he is. Jesus dismantles Satan's kingdom. I get a clue on this one. Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men could not put the devils back together again. Yay. Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, NIV. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Jesus destroyed the devil, 1 Corinthians 15, 26. This Greek word is katargeo, Strong's 2673, means to be rendered entirely idle or useless. Vine's Dictionary of New Testament Words adds that katargeo means to reduce to inactivity, and is taken from two Greek words, kata, meaning down, agros, meaning inactive. Jesus put the devil down and rendered his kingdom inoperative. Without authority. Karagio is translated in the King James Version as abolish, cease, destroy, do away with, become and make of no, none, without effect, fail, loose, bring, come to naught, put away, down, vanish away, and make void. Compare Romans 6:6 and Ephesians 2:15 and 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Our glorious Lord brought about the demise of the one who had previously held men captive to the fear of death by abolishing death itself. 2 Timothy 1:10. Satan and his demons knew that Jesus had come to dismantle their kingdom. That's, I believe, MK is Malachi 5:1, James 2:19. In 1 John 3:8,
MK is Mark.
Huh?
MK is Mark.
Mark, oh, okay. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. But for this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And it goes on and on. I just want you to be aware that our mentality needs a major overhaul. To be able to think like God really has declared in his word, a lot of our warfare would not even be, because we wouldn't even bother. Hosea 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. The prophet Isaiah predicted Jesus' victory over sin and death. The Hebrew word for swallow means to make away with and destroy. The Lamb was slain to wipe away and erase the tears from all men. He removed and the rebuke or disgrace of his people. According to Hosea 13:14, our Redeemer came to plague death, to be its destruction and extermination. Romans 6:9 says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. Why did that press come in? I believe because the spirit of understanding wants us to get a new picture of who we are in Christ. We need a mental adjustment on the inside. That, you know, when we come to the table and we recognize what he's done for us and why he gave up his body, why he let it be torn apart. And that's what this communion is for. To remind us and to remember what he did. And you know, sometimes we misappropriate. And we think we have to do warfare over and over. And as I was communicating with one person today, I made a comment about letting the spirit within that individual do the war that only the spirit could do. And I was told by that person that they had a difficult time where there was war going on the night before. And they began to release their spirit. And the more they released their spirit, they fell asleep. So, what's the fruit of that person's wisdom? The war was what?
It's already won.
Huh?
It's already won.
Already won. And that defeat that you can see when King David cut off his head, you know, let's be honest, the whole army left. When we put our box,
the trunk,
what happens to the army of darkness? It has to flee. James 4:7. Humble yourself before the Lord. Resist. Doesn't say he might flee. Right? Right? Right?